Hey, welcome to the weekend. Fritz Bergen at bloodandfaith.com. It's Friday evening, 6th of May, 2022. Wanted to mention that during these dark times, and I think they're dark times to me, we have to realize that there's a sunrise on the other end. There's sunshine on the other end. Everything comes in waves and seasons. There's a time to mourn, there's a time to laugh. There's time to live, there's a time to die. There's a time for war, there's a time for peace. And there was a time for the crucifixion, and there was a time for the resurrection. And maybe you're not this way, but I can get this way. I can be a little pessimistic. Oh, you know, the world's a bad place. We're going to have a civil discord and World War III. I'm as guilty as that as the next guy. Even if I think it's true. Even if I think that's the true case. But we all have to be in a situation where we say, you know what, no matter what happens, here's where we come out at the end of the day. At the end of the day, it's the Great Commission. We're going to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to the nations. We're going to disciple the nations. We're going to build Christian nations around the world. And we're going to see a resurrection of Christendom. My vision is in life is not to watch the Antichrist take over so I can fly out of here. I'm called to fight. I'm called to battle. I'm called to go to war. And I mean that in the theological sense of the Great Commission and bringing discipline to the nations. That's what God's called the church to do, regardless of the obstacles. I'm reminded of Moses going into Egypt. Moses had a nice life going on. He's like, you know what? I'm okay with the sheep. I've been out here with the sheep 40 years. God said, okay, you're done. You're 80 years old. You're done. You've been out here 40 years. Go back to Egypt and bring your people out. Moses goes back in there. People didn't want him. Oh, no, you know, things aren't so bad. It's okay. You know, it's a little tough, but you're just going to make it worse, Moses. And sure enough, Moses made it worse. And the Pharaoh responded. He says, okay, I'm going to crack down on you. I'm going to give you even more work. And they wanted to throw Moses out. Finally, Pharaoh says, okay, let the people go. And so Moses marches out of Egypt. 3 million men, whatever it was. They're heading toward the Red Sea. He gets trapped between the Red Sea and Pharaoh's army. Pharaoh had a change of heart. He says, okay, we're going to go back there and slaughter anybody that fights and bring the rest back as slaves. And Moses going, man, I just when I thought I had it made, it looks like it's utter darkness and death. It had to be hard for Moses. Man, it had to be hard. After going through all the heartache, all the trouble, and now he's watching himself bring these people out of Egypt only to watch a mass slaughter and a re-enslavement with conditions undoubtedly way worse than it was. I mean, oh, talk about an existential moment for Moses where he had just to say, you know what? What has my life been all about? But God made a way. God made a way. He says, Moses, it's all right. I got this. And for me, sometimes it feels like that. And I feel like I'm standing there watching things, bad things happening. You go, how is this going to work out? Because it's not looking good right now. And next thing you know, Moses is tromping through the Red Sea, and he's going on to the other side. Next, of course, then Pharaoh comes on the other side and God said, watch this. And boom, the Red Sea comes back together and drowns the army of Pharaoh, utterly devastates them. Of course, this is after the Hebrews had robbed the Egyptians. They went to the Egyptians and said, hey, give us all your gold and silver. And they were so sick of them that they did. They gave them everything. And I am here to remind myself, if not you guys, like I said, man, when I preach to myself. I'm here to remind myself and those of you that could do with a good positive word. Look, there's good times, there's bad times, there's dark times, there's light times. And that's part of the deal. That's part of the struggle. That's part of the battle of faith. Moses had to stand there between the seashore and Pharaoh's army and sweat through that. Not fun, but it's part of the deal. Jesus Christ had to sweat through the crucifixion. Not fun. Don't ever forget that Jesus Christ was you know, I don't use this word lightly, but he was under a lot of pain and anguish that evening in Gethsemane. He was under a lot of pain and anguish. He was scared. And he said, God, let not this, you know, don't let this happen to me, but not what I will, but thy will be done. And he did. He let it happen to him. Not fun, man. Not the message you want to hear on a Sunday morning from the preacher or a Friday night from me. And he did. And they did. And he died. 3 days later, he rises from the dead. Now, where are we at with the United States and the world? I don't know. I know how I feel about it. I know it feels pretty bad. I know it feels pretty doggone devastating. I know I feel like I'm right caught between Pharaoh's army and the Red Sea. I know I feel like I'm caught between Gethsemane and the crucifixion. Ain't no fun. Not a lot of fun to be a believer during these times. We are watching the collapse of the United States of America in front of our eyes with a man who was an enemy of this country. Go to Tucker Carl, go to bloodandfaith.com. I threw up a couple of very depressing pieces that I didn't write. One was Tucker Carlson. The other was a guy named J.R. Nyquist. Tucker was talking about Biden. Nyquist was talking about Putin. And they're just really dark pictures of both of them. Dark pictures. With no good outcome. You know, you hope somebody's got a handle on this thing and that there's a good outcome coming out. There's no good outcome. The people running the United States today have no respect for the Bill of Rights, no respect for the Constitution of the United States, no respect for America as a people, and they're bent on destruction. God only knows what's going on in the minds of Russian leadership. I don't know. Or Zelensky and whoever's running that show. It's probably worse than we can imagine. And yet here we are. And we're staring down this. We're staring down an economic meltdown in the United States. Massive invasion. Some kind of poser in the White House that every decision he makes seems to do nothing but destroy this country. Russians threatening every other day nuclear war. I mean, what could go wrong, right? What could possibly go wrong? Can it get any worse? Well, the answer is yes, it can get worse. We can actually live through the darkest days. You can actually live through the 3 days when Jesus Christ, after he was crucified, before he rises from the dead. It could be that way. And as a guy that studies history, as a historian, I hate to say this, but the United States is not immune from history. It has seemed that way in our lifetimes. All right, when did World War II end? 1945. What's that? 55 plus, that's 75 years ago. What's the average life expectancy for a male in the United States? I don't know. It's probably right around then. And that was people that were born in 1945. So the generations alive today really don't know bad times in America. And even World War II, you didn't have war in America. You really didn't. Okay, Pearl Harbor, Alaska, islands in Hawaii, islands in Alaska. You know, horrendous damage and destruction in Vietnam in the last 20 years. I took a walk the other day. Section 60, Arlington National Cemetery. Row after row after row after row of young men in their 20s with a Purple Heart. You don't just get a Purple Heart when you get wounded. You get a Purple Heart when you're dead. And row after row after row of these guys. For what end? To what end? And they're just a fraction of those that have come home with broken bodies and broken minds and broken hearts. So the pain of the wars that we've been in since World War II have been borne inequally. They've been borne largely by young men, military age, and in the combat arms, it's generally, not exclusively, but there's an awful lot disproportionately young white men slaughtered at the altar of these wars to save the world. You want to save the world, build Christian nations. And so it's those pains have been borne unequally. And it's a shame. It's more than a shame. It's a horror that they've had to bear. Generations gone. So as we're looking at going forward, yeah, it's not looking good. I don't know what's going to happen. Sometimes I get depressed and I say, well, what happens next? Could it get worse? Oh, it could get a lot worse. But there will come a day when it starts looking better. And I have to remind myself, and I'll remind you guys, look, this potential decision by the Supreme Court is a fabulous issue. It's a fabulous possibility. How did that happen in the midst of this darkness? Is that not just a sign from Providence that, look, you know, there's hope on the other side. There's hope at the end of the tunnel. We may wake up and find that the Supreme Court has overturned Roe versus Wade. That will not end abortion. You guys understand that? It will not end abortion. It simply pushes it back to the states, which actually, in the long run, is the best possible scenario for the condition of our country. People are fed up with being controlled from the center, left and right. The left is getting the sense of it now. Oh, my God, I can't believe people are going to impose their morality on us. Well, hey, guess what? It's back to the states. It may make it more tumultuous. Of course it will. But at least you're down at a level where you can make decisions and different people and different states can go different ways. And some of the states are going to have to divide too. I mean, that's plain. And you can't say it never happened. West Virginia was part of Virginia. West Virginia said, we don't want to be part of Virginia, and they went their own way. It's a historical, possibility. It's happened in the past, can happen in the future. Eastern Washington does not want to be part of Western Washington State. Ditto for Eastern Oregon. There's a whole movement for Northern California to secede. Of course, the Californians under Trump threatened to secede from the Union. That's fine. We have to think differently. Because if we continue the way we're going, there's something called being anti-fragile. And there's something called being fragile. Right now, the United States is very fragile. If we want to move forward, we need to become anti-fragile. And that may mean there is the possibility of going different directions in different ways. And some of the directions we won't like. I won't like. But some of the other directions, well, maybe this allows people to not claw each other's eyes out. And I've often and frequently over the years made the analogy to a bad domestic situation, a bad, bad marriage. And I'm a firm believer in staying married. Really am. And I'm a firm believer in the United States staying together as a unified single nation. That's what I want. But at what point do you say, you know what? God, we can't just claw each other's eyes out, put each other in the grave. I'm speaking of the United States. We don't want another civil war. Don't want that. How about giving each other a little space? Let each other decide for themselves how they want to live their lives. Honey, you want to go smoke your dope? That's fine. I'll drink my whiskey. Whatever it is. Maybe got him and her bedrooms. I don't know. How do you do that on a national level? Maybe it's through the states. Seems to me that's why you have separate states. That's why we're a union of states, these United States, not the United States. You got different states that can make different decisions and go their own way, have different plans and ideas, and yet still work together on a national level on bigger issues. But God, the left has just wanted to own it all, wanted to control the whole nine yards. And every time the American people vote differently, they overrule it in the courts. That's the only reason you have homosexual marriage. It's the only reason there's no Ten Commandments in the schools. It's the only reason prayer is outlawed in the schools, let alone open borders. You got some guy up there in the White House saying, I don't care what the law says, we're going to disobey the law. Biden's disobeying the law, disobeying the congressionally mandated law, saying we're not going to enforce these laws whatsoever. We have a different policy than what Congress passed. That's illegal. Why isn't he impeached for that? On its face, it's illegal. And now he's got people in his administration as an active part of their job. What they're getting paid for is to undermine the Bill of Rights. That's what the governing board of disinformation is. You're actively undermining the Bill of Rights. I don't care how many excuses they make for it. I don't care how many times you're going to trot out Hillary Clinton, Obama, to say we need a way to curate the nears. Obama's been after that since he became president in 2008. He's been after that for over a decade. Have the central government curate the news, and they work in lockstep with MSNBC, Washington Post, New York Times. It's evil. These people are actively undermining the Constitution. And, you know, I read probably some of the same stuff you guys read. Some people are fit to be tied. This, are we just going to sit around and wait for this? And the answer is apparently we are. Apparently that's what's going on. And as soon as there's a little squeak out there, Supreme Court's got a squeak and a leak saying, hey, we're going to overturn Roe v. Wade. Whoa, there comes Antifa and BLM out in force. They haven't disbanded. They've been training and planning and plotting for this moment. We're going to have a hot summer, hot, messy summer, baby. Big, fat mess in the elections. I wrote an article 2-3 weeks ago. I predicted that somehow the election of 2022 is not going to work the way it ought to work. If you go by what it ought to work, that the Republicans would run the House. Of course they will. This is even without the current crisis that we're in today, this is historically how it happens. After a new president gets in, he utterly loses the House and probably the Senate too. I mean, that's just the way it is. In a normal situation, without being in the debacle that we're in the horrendous state that we're in, that's normally what happens. How much more in this time of war that we don't need? I don't give two flips about the border dispute in the eastern Ukraine. I couldn't care less. Not my problem. Not my issue. Why is it my issue? Why is it my issue now? Why are we spending $33 billion? It's corruption. You know it's corruption. Oh, we're going to save Ukrainian democracy. We don't even save our own democracy. We don't even have a democracy. We're setting up a governing board to combat disinformation. And you got Congress and the Democrats and the Republicans are silenced, demanding that people have control of free speech. What do you think is going to happen to me in my blog, in my podcast? Let me count the ways that I've already been censored. Instagram. Got it. I put that up on bloodandfaith.com. Instagram. I had a meme up there. It's basically a picture. And a right-wing guy, a left-wing guy could have put this up. A standard Democrat could have put this up a decade ago. It would not have raised an eyebrow. And what the meme said, it says, if you're afraid of speaking up, you've already submitted to slavery. That meme could have been in existence in the 1960s or the 1950s. How harmless is that, except that it's not harmless? Because the battle is in the ideological sphere. The battle is in the philosophical sphere. The battle is in the theological sphere. And it's all the same. Theology and philosophy, worldview, it's all the same. This is the battle the church has to own. This is the field of battle that the church has to own. This is where we belong. My God, it's our time to rise up. Oh, I'm just talking about religion. I don't talk about philosophy and politics and worldview. It's all the same, baby. It's all mixed up. It's all the same. Your philosophy is your religion. Your religion is your morality. Your morality is your legal point of view. Your legal point of view is your politics. I mean, the left said it best. The personal is the political. Come on, church. It's all mixed up. It's all in there together. I don't want to. I'm afraid. I'm afraid what they might say about me. That's the problem. The beatings shall continue until morale improves. Come on, church. Isn't this not what God did to his people 3,000 years ago? Oh, you're not going to serve me? Okay. I'm going to turn up the pressure to see if you repent. Sometimes it did, sometimes it didn't. Gideon's a great story. The prophetess Deborah is a great story. Finally just said, look, man, this ain't working out. We need to repent. Daniel's a great story. Daniel looked at the course of history for his country and his countrymen, and he said, look, the reason we're in this state is because we've turned away from the living God. That's the only reason we're in the state. And that's why the United States and Canada, New Zealand, Australia, Western Europe, Christendom is in this state because it's turned away from the living God. We've turned away from Jesus Christ. That's why we're here. That's why we're in the condition that we're in. Don't sit there and say, I want to get raptured out of here. Don't sit there and cheer on the approach of the Antichrist. I'm serious. Some of these Christians, man, the Antichrist, they're so happy because they think that they're going to fly out of here right then. I got news for you. Jesus Christ did not fly out of the crucifixion. Jesus Christ did not fly out of the crucifixion, folks. God did not rapture him out of the crucifixion, even though he prayed that that would be the case. Noah did not get raptured out of the great flood. He had to go through it. Pretty traumatic moment. Pretty traumatic moment to go through the great flood. Had family members, no doubt, that died. Nieces and nephews, and aunts and uncles, and cousins. Brethren that died in the great flood. Imagine you're Noah in the ark, and your brother comes along. He says, Noah, let me in. You talk about an emotionally scarring moment. That was tough. And then you go, how does this work, man? How does this work? You talk about having to have faith in God. You don't know. You're out there for 40 days and 40 nights floating around and going, is this it? Is this the end? It feels that way sometimes when you look out on the world stage today. And some people, you know, have a harder time of it right now than others. There's men locked in jail, in prison, in D.C. for doing what? Standing up for their country. Saying, we need a change. Something's wrong. And then you find out your law enforcement agencies, these guys have abandoned the Constitution. They're just, they need a promotion. So, and they can't find a crime, so they create a crime. That's the truth. We can't find a crime, so let's create a crime, and then they get their promotion. It happens over and over and over again. And meanwhile, Antifa, BLM have full coverage from federal law enforcement and these prosecutors. Every once in a while, they'll trot out somebody that tries to do something, and it just gives them more cover. The change needs to be deep and fundamental. Absolutely deep and absolutely fundamental. Y'all are sitting around waiting to get raptured out of here. Nope, I got news for you. Australians, Kiwis, Canadians, Swedes, Englishmen, Scotsmen, Welsh, Germans, French. No, the call is to rise up and build Christian nations in your land. Sidelanders, Zimbabweans, Nigerians. I don't care who you are. I don't care where you are. Where's your prince, Nigerian? How many? You've got three major tribes and hundreds of minor tribes in Nigeria. Where is your princes that will stand up and say, we're going to build a Christian nation right here in this land? Where are they? Come on. Come on. Same with Asians, whatever you're North Korean, South Korean, Japanese, you're going to have to say, we're going to build a Christian nation. Otherwise, you're going to end up where America is in 2022, and it's not where you want to be. There's two ways, baby. And the third, there is no mythical third way. There is no libertarian third way. There is no secular democratic third way. It's totalitarianism under Satan, or it's you serve Jesus Christ and you build a Christian civilization under the guidance of the Holy Scriptures, and you have liberty in Jesus Christ. That's it. Those are your only two choices. Wake up. And churches, I'm telling you, you're sitting there hoping for the end to come so you don't have to deal with this anymore. And you're sitting there saying, we just want to be a Christian church in a secular order, and you think it's going to be okay. It's not okay. The reason you can't get converts to your church is because the field has been turned over to the enemy for generations and generations and generations, and you've sowed the seed, and you've sowed the seed, and you cannot get a return. Why? Because you've turned the soil over to Satan. And so that's not our field anymore. And you go out there and you expect to get a harvest here, a harvest there. Oh, we got a one-fold harvest, and you're so excited. You're supposed to have 30, 60, 90, and 100-fold harvest. But you've surrendered the field. And Satan's been filling up with rocks and weeds and the birds of the air. And you sit there wondering, well, I just don't understand why God just doesn't give us revival. You've surrendered the field. That's why. You've truncated the gospel of Jesus Christ to the absolute minimum in order that the Antichrist may not be offended. How'd that work out for you, church, evangelical church in America? How'd that work out for you? Where are you today? You're barely holding on. And you think you're going to fly away. Got news for you, buddy. You ain't flying away. You're going to live through this or you're going to die through this. One way or another, you need to turn around and face it. Fritz Bergen, it's the weekend. Bloodandfaith.com.